Man, oh man, I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't get any cooler than the B-52s, Planet Claire. That's what I'm talking about. Follow me on Twitter, at JChurchRadio. Hope you're enjoying the bumper music tonight. And also, finally, and I do mean this, finally, there's a dating and friendship site to meet others with similar interests. That's right. Find your match that shares an interest in the paranormal, science, life after death, ghost stories, Bigfoot, UFOs, alternative medicine, conspiracy theories. How about the E-City Ranch in James Gilliland? Right now, Paranormal Date has almost 60,000 members, probably going to be 61,000 by tomorrow. Right now, Paranormal Date is available for free on iOS and Android apps. And when you're there, go check out the companion site, conspiracydate.com. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is old school, coast to coast AM. All UFOs, all the time, James Gilliland, and your phone calls next. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and our guest tonight, James Gilliland of the E-City Ranch. Now, James, and I want to thank everybody for your questions on Twitter. Thank you so much. And I've got this coming in from Super Sport, who wants to know, when's the best time to visit the ranch? Is the activity the same year-round?
Well, if you come up there in the wintertime, you're going to be up to about your chest in snow. So it's probably not a good time. And the ranch is closed, but we usually open up right at the 1st of May and go through till, you know, October. And so, and, you know, if providing the weather holds, but we usually have some really good weather all the way up to, you know, the end of October. But the best time, I think, is you know, towards the end of June or, you know, July, August. Those are the best times.
Now, I was just noticing over on your YouTube channel, the videos are fairly current. Are you constantly shooting video and editing and uploading? I mean, and do you have stuff that you just don't even have the time to get to?
Yeah, I have boxes and boxes of stuff that I haven't even dealt with yet. And, you know, I don't have the staff to do it or the financing to pay somebody.
Right.
But, yeah, it's sad because there's so much missed there. And most of the footage I have up there are usually other people up there filming. Some of it I've filmed, but a lot of it is other UFO investigators and just guests that come to the ranch and they get their own footage.
Yeah, I can't wait to get up there, and we're going to do it soon, and we'll make that announcement when we do. Let's go to Blair Wildcard out in Sedona, Arizona. Blair, you get your share of sightings out there in Sedona, don't you?
I sure did. I was out here 11 years ago with David Sarita and Tom Dongo, who James knows, and we saw the largest UFO of my life. It was a lime-green crescent moon shape that crashed from the north to the south at a 20-degree angle into Sycamore Canyon.
Wow.
So, yes. We do have them here.
Yes, you do, Blair. Do you have a question for James?
Hey, yeah, James, you know, you're right on point about us doing it ourselves. The 11th Hour Hopi Elders statement talks about there is a river flowing now very fast. They use a river metaphor for the energy that you're talking about that's pressing us down. Mm-hmm. But I wondered a question about is there a rescue scenario planned for some of us living Earth bodies similar to, say, oh, the Christian rapture, in those motherships that you have communicated with?
You know what, I haven't gotten the go-ahead on that. I mean, they've been talking about that for years, and the beings that I keep talking to keep saying that, you know, we really need to turn this planet around ourselves, and, you know, it's our planet, and we need to get on with it. But they're inspiring us, and they're sending us, you know, the higher consciousness and energy, and you know, energetically, they're working very hard. They're working very hard telepathically and in our dream states and things like that. And they're collapsing this old draconian grid, and there's a new grid taking its place, which is more of a, you know, a Christ consciousness or a Buddha consciousness grid that's coming in. And we're seeing the turmoil right now that's part of the process, because whenever you add a lot of energy like that, you know, you're going to have a little chaos for a little while. And that's just the negative stuff and the things that aren't frequency specific to the new energy coming up for us to look at and deal with. And that's, we're in that process right now. And it is really important for people to start going internal to clear, you know, the old wounds and traumas, things like that. You can't go to a march full of anger and wounds and traumas and rage and call it a peace march. You know, it just doesn't work. I mean, talk about pollution, you know, that you're totally polluting the consciousness and the environment there. But it is important for us to go in and heal, you know, release the past and clear up our traumas. And if you are going to march for peace, then, you know, by all means do so.
Thank you for the phone. Oh, did you have another question, Blair?
I just wanted to agree with him. The Hopi's elder statement says, do not look outside yourself for the leader.
Well, that's exactly, that's right, Blair. Totally agree with you. And seriously, thank you for the phone call. And I want you to stay on that for a second, James.
Yeah.
So many, and it's almost exhausting, want to have somebody help them or ET to come here and save us and save the planet. And that certainly should not be the case. We should help ourselves first, right?
Well, yeah, it creates an enormous dependency, you know, and why is it their job? You know, I wanted to talk a little bit about that. People ask why we don't have contact with the masses.
Right.
And if you look at the collective consciousness of the masses, I mean, you have the people, I don't want to mention any names, but, you know, they're doing some great work trying to restore the Republic and things like that, but they have a real fundamentalist attitude. And so they're saying all the ETs are demonic, you know, and it's all demons and it's trickery and things like that. Well, you know, they don't realize it, but these benevolent ETs are actually the inspiration behind the Republic. And they were the inspiration behind the beginning of America when it was a Republic. So, you know, these energies, when you get up into the higher consciousness energy, again, it aligns, you know, with basic human rights. You know, we have the divine right to, you know, self-determination. And as long as we're not harming somebody else or destroying the environment, you know, we have a right to do what we need to do. But we should all be kings in our own kingdom. But, you know, it's sad because this energy coming in right now is what the Mayans call the ninth wave.
Right.
And it's called unity consciousness. And so it's bringing everybody together. But the problem was, this energy, when it comes in, it pushes up everything that doesn't align with it, that's not frequency specific to this higher consciousness and energy or this higher thought. And so that's what we're in that process right now. And if people want to really use this wave and use this energy, they need to align with that energy, go within and release the past, you know, heal and let go of the old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions, and make their own personal connection with God, Creator, Spirit, whatever you want to call it, and then go from there, and we'll turn this planet around and start, you know, applying, again, what I talked about before was universal law, and that's inherent within the ninth wave, or this unity conscious wave that's coming through.
Now, what do you know about the supernova that's going to show up in 2022? Now, this is going to happen. We're going to have a brand new star in the sky.
Uh-huh.
And the timing of that is 10 years after 2012. And I find that very interesting, too. What do you know about the supernova? And, you know, is it a sign of something?
Well, we're definitely going through shifts. You know, a lot of people thought 2012 was the big shift, but you know, the calendars were off because, you know, Mark Anthony didn't even become Caesar for 5 years. So we've got 5 years, you know, missing there. So if you add 5 years to 2012, you're talking 2017. And we're in it. I mean, we're in that shift that they were talking about in 2012. And again, when this energy comes in, you're going to see it's like a solar flare. The sun is reacting to this energy because we're moving into a highly energized place in space we haven't been before. And the sun's going to throw off coronal mass ejections and solar flares. When those go off, they affect consciousness on the planet, and they create, you know, severe weather and an increase in earthquake and volcanic activity. You know, they do create social and economic changes. There's graphs that prove this. So it's all connected. It's not just our solar system. It's our whole solar system is moving to a highly energized place in space. And so it's part of an evolutionary process, and there's a lot of beings that are trying to help us, you know, birth through this process, and that's you know, if we can stop reacting to the chaos and start and shift out of reactionary mind into creationary mind and start creating the world we'd like to see again and adhere to the universal principles or universal law, things will turn around. But if we keep, you know, going to war and fighting each other and playing the separation game, which is coming to an end, then that's going to cause us a lot of pain, a lot of turmoil, a lot of problems on the planet.
Let's go to wild card Tim in Washington State. Tim, you're up next on Coast. Welcome.
Hi, Jimmy and James. Great show. Love this topic. James, I had a question for you. It goes to earlier in the show, you were saying how you could identify certain types of UFOs by what they look like. I guess you could say I'm a long time UFO experiencer myself, seeing a lot of nighttime different shapes and sizes of UFOs down in Wakayakin County, west of Longview, Washington.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of activity there.
Yes, and I work in Portland, Oregon, and in the spring of 2015, it was weird. I just felt like a voice was coming to me that I'm going to see a daylight UFO. And yeah, I kind of put it out of my mind for a while, and it would come back into my mind. And then September 26th, 2015, 3:20 p.m., about 15 miles west of Portland, I saw a round, spherical-shaped UFO about 50 feet in diameter.
What color?
It was metallic color, and it was a day when some clouds were out. It was like a 76-degree day, and there were some high, puffy, white clouds out, and it was beside a cloud bank. And I could see the Alaska Airlines jets flying into approach to PDX, Portland. And they were like, you know, probably 3,000 or 4,000 feet under this. I would estimate the UFO was about maybe 7,000 feet up.
Uh-huh.
And it had like a golden hue to it. And with the sun shining on its western side, you know, it was like glowing the color of the sun shining on it. I was just wondering what type of beings or identification would be identified with that. And
well, yeah,
I really, James, I'm a subscriber to your newsletter.
Oh, great.
And I watch a lot of your YouTube videos, and I really enjoy your stuff. I think you're right on.
Thank you, Tim.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of that. What I've seen is that, as I was saying before, the kind of pinkish-orange ones a lot of times are Pleiadian ships that we've seen, and they can change. They can phase out and turn into white or blue. We see a lot of golden ships, and a lot of the golden ships are the Orion Council of Light, and some of the Sirian ships are actually golden as well. That sounds like either a Sirian ship or one of the Orion Council of Light ships that are coming in.
Gregory on Twitter wants to know, this is a great question, by the way. This is the one I wish I thought of. He wants to know, he said, if I've had UFO experiences my whole life and I come up to the ranch, will I have an experience like a first timer?
And, you know, that's interesting.
It is, isn't it? It's a great question.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I see people, you know, I don't know. It sounds like he's already had quite a few experiences. And if you've had all those experiences, it means they're, you know, you're connected to them. But nice thing at the ranch is you can find out who they are and what your connection is. And, you know, a lot of us, and this is outside the box, a lot of us have had past lives in these other civilizations. And we've incarnated in the earth to be part of the, you know, the liberation process to help liberate the earth. And, you know, bring the awakening healing process, you know, to full spectrum here. But, you know, it's interesting. If you're seeing the ships all the time, most likely you're connected to them. And it'd be great to find out which group they are. And whatever is going on gets enhanced at the ranch. It's because of the vortex and the energy there. it's going to, you know, accelerate or enhance it.
Well, how about you, James? Are you ever tempted to just leave this dimension altogether and just go to a higher dimension and just say sayonara?
You know, when I had my near-death experience, I was hanging out in that plane of bliss and talking to the source, and I said I want to come back, you know, and teach people about the true nature of God and the different dimensions and things like that.
And source said, cool?
Yeah, and he said, as you wish, and next thing you know, I was back in the body. But, you know, I think about that sometimes. I go, what was I thinking? You know, the things I've had to deal with since I've been back. You know, I thought, you know, I'd share this with everybody, and they'd just go, yeah, that sounds really good. That's awesome, you know. And boy, the flack you get when you go against people's belief systems, it doesn't matter, you know, just messing with people's comfort zones, you know, it's amazing. And, you know, there are certain elements that don't want this information out. You know,
of course.
There's government elements, religious elements, things like that. You know, but, you know, even the people in the Catholic Church, you know, are admitting now that UFOs exist, and, you know, it's just a bigger, you know, God's a lot bigger than we thought, you know. So,
well, with your experiences with this, are you able to, I asked you this last week or the week before, I'm going to ask you again, is it possible to go from like the third, bypass the fourth dimension and like jump to the fifth or the sixth, or do you have to experience each one?
Well, you can definitely. You actually don't want to play in the fourth.
That's right.
And in the fourth dimension, the lower fourth dimension, there's all kinds of weird stuff there. You know, that's the things that go bump in the night spectrum. You've got the shadow beings and
right.
And kind of degenerate ETs, and you've got all kinds of stuff going on there in the lower fourth. The mid fourth is just, you know, everyday people on the wheel, you know, reincarnating.
Right.
And when you get into the higher fourth dimension, you have teachers and guides and wonderful beings on the higher fourth dimension, but you're still below the psychic barrier and you're still stuck on the wheel. And the beings, even the teachers and guides on that dimension, are stuck because they have some cultural or religious program or something that's creating separation, so they can't get off the wheel.
Right. They have issues. Well, back to my point then.
Yeah.
Can you just bypass it?
Definitely, yeah, and that's what we teach. We teach people how to bypass the fourth and go into the fifth, sixth, and seventh.
And which dimension, give me the one-number answer. We've got 5 seconds. Which dimension are you living in right now?
Oh, God, all the way up to the 11th.
The 11th. Our guest tonight, James Gilliland. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Old school UFO kind of night. Right now, your phone calls next. This is Coast to Coast AM. All right, I'll say it. I'll say right now, nobody else will. Where else can you get Sebastian Bach, Skid Row, UFOs, and James Gilliland all in one show? That's Coast to Coast AM. That's what I'm talking about. Curious piece of footage from India purportedly shows a young boy being accosted, attacked by a ghost as he walks through the forest. You've got to check the video out. I've watched it like 20 times today. Now, it was allegedly filmed by a security camera that was watching the wooded area for wildlife when it happened to capture this shadow figure jump up out of the path and just knock this kid down. It is crazy. Check out the entire video right now over at coasttocoastam.com. Let me know what you think on Twitter. It's pretty nuts. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. It's Coast to Coast AM. James Gilliland and your calls, old school, are next. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest tonight, James Gilliland of the East Eddy Ranch. And James, before I get back to phone calls, which we're totally jammed up on, totally great, and Twitter, just read this Twitter post which said, okay, so E.T. has nothing better to do than buzz East Eddy Ranch and put on a show night after night. And I responded back with, yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much it, yes. That's exactly what's going on, isn't it? It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, you know, basically there's an intention behind that. And they're trying to let us know, you know, that they're doing all they can to help us out, but they can't do everything for us. And it's part of like a public acclimation project that's going on there. And people that are serious, that want to do their own investigation and not just listen to what anybody else is saying, can come up and have their own experience and even get their own footage if they want.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the first time anything like this happened to me, I went out. It was a night watch. You know about the story. But I'm going to tell you the first part of it that was even more interesting, the part that took me to my knees, right? I step out there. There's 200 or 300 people on this cliff. And I look straight up, James. I look straight up at 12 o'clock. No night vision, nothing, right? I'm there for 10 seconds, right? And they announce, you know, Jimmy Church is here from coast to coast, fade to black. You know, everybody yells. While everybody is yelling, I look straight up at 12 noon, right? Right up into the night sky, straight up. I tilt my head back. And this star, the brightest star in the sky that I can see up in the Milky Way, caught my eye. I just look at it. And at that exact moment, it moves from left to right. And it moves, you know, I don't know, 6 inches in the sky, whatever that is. If you put your hands above you, you know, whatever, six. And I watched it move. And then disappeared. And it lasted for about a half a second, right? Just gone. And I put my head down. I put my chin on my chest, then my hands on my knees, and I went to the ground. I was like, what? Wait a minute. You know, planets are not supposed to move.
Yeah.
And disappear. Stars don't do that. And they did. And the crowd is yelling. And I'm like, what is going on, man?
So, power up.
Yeah. And when, you know, I get this tweet and I see that, oh, okay, man, so this is what's going on. Yes, that is exactly what's going on. And you're not going to tell me it's not, because I've seen it and so have thousands of others. So there you go. Okay, I've got a question in Twitter here, which is, where'd it go? Oh, I've misplaced my stack of Twitter questions. Okay, we'll get back to it. Not a big deal.
You know what I'd love to talk about is that, you know, in Australia, when I went to Australia,
yeah,
I had these beings appear in my room. This one being, her name was Inha, and she was like a benevolent Anunnaki. And she was telling me that there's a major recall going on, you know, that the benevolent ones are here, along with the Andromedans, the Pleiadians, Orion Counts of Light, and there's a huge cleanup going on and a recall of the things that have happened, you know, in the ancient history. And I got a really clear message, you know, to go to Australia, and I did. And Peter Slattery and Sol Rita, they have East SETI Australia over there. And so I gave lectures all up and down the coast, and then I met Ulukai Brendan Murray, who's the king of the Raven tribes, and that was quite a trip, but got initiated into the Raven tribe. We got surrounded by thousands of ravens. We have the footage of it, and everything. It was pretty amazing. But I met a lot of elders there, and they told me about Gosford glyphs, and they said, go out to Gosford glyphs. The whole history of the earth is written on the glyphs. And I said, okay, great, you know. And I think it's Stephen and Evan Strong have been doing some major research on this. You could probably Google their names and come up with it. But on this glyph, it tells the whole history of Earth, and it talks about the first landings and when the Anunnaki came, and it talks about the Denisovian man that was there. He was the man that was evolving naturally there, and it talks about them adding their DNA to this Denisovian man and jumping him up. And then, you know, there's two other major colonizations that happened on the Earth. You know, Atlantis and Lemuria were Pleiadian colonizations. But it's all written in history on these rocks, and they've been trying to destroy these things for quite some time. But what was amazing is this was the exact same information that they gave me was actually written in stone on these rocks. And that just blew me away, you know, when I saw that. And it's still there today. And a lot of Egyptologists have come out there,
right,
and deciphered these glyphs, you know, and it's exactly what they're talking about, the real history of Earth.
Have you met any of the blue avians yet?
Not personally. I've seen them. I've had a couple flash images of them. I noticed that if I'm working closely with some other groups, other ones will not interfere. It's kind of interesting because I'm working very close with the Pleiadians and the Orion Council of Light and the Sirians and the Andromedans, and now the Benevolent Anunnaki are showing up. But I noticed that they respect each other's turf in a way. And so if you're working, you know, there's a plan, you know, happening, and they don't interfere in other plans or things that are going on. So I've heard of them. I saw one briefly, but I haven't had, you know, the contact that other people are having with them.
Let's go to Tony right here, West Coast in Corona. Tony, you've been on hold for a long time. Thank you for waiting. You're up next. Tony? Okay, looks like Tony's not there. Well, you know, he's been on hold for a while. Let's go to Kevin in Norwich, Connecticut. Let's go East Coast. Kevin, you're up next.
I wouldn't abandon you, Jimmy. Thank you very much. How you doing?
Doing good, Kevin. What have you got for James?
Well, James, I've been enjoying the conversation. It's very refreshing. My original question, you've really kind of encapsulated and addressed, and that is that during the first part of the program, I heard you talking about the experiences that people have out at the ranch, mm-hmm. and how it's life-changing. And I have always understood that not all higher-dimensional beings are good, are nice, are perhaps having the best interests of mankind at heart. And you've kind of touched on that. I'm very fascinated to hear you make reference to benevolent Anunnaki. Mm-hmm. I've never heard anybody talk about that before, and it's always been my thought that there must be Anunnaki out there who have gone to a higher level, have transitioned, have been converted, or whatever, yeah. that not all Anunnaki are bad. Let me, if you'll permit, just encapsulate this in two quick questions. One, if the beings we're talking about are of higher dimension and interdimensional, why do they need ships? Why do they need craft to travel in? And my second question is, we always hear about higher dimensional beings. Are there any that are lower, or are we as low as it goes, human beings?
Yeah, good question. Actually, they can just appear pretty much wherever they want to be. It depends on what dimension and what their capabilities are. I know a lot of the 4D beings can't really do anything beyond 4D, you know, because you have to have love and joy and bliss in your heart. You know, you have to have the higher dimensions and motions to actually get through the psychic barrier. But definitely what's happened, if people knew the real history of Earth, the Anunnaki, when they landed, you know, everything was good, and then they got into turf wars and started fighting with each other. And then you had Enki, which was the, you know, creator god, he was the scientist. And then you had Enlil, which was the warrior, and he was the general. And so they were always at odds, and then there was, started to get into a lot of turf wars, and actually involved atomic weapons and weapons that we don't even know about. Mm-hmm. And that's in the history. It's the Gobi Desert is one just big glass shelf there, you know, when you dig down, and that's part of that experience. But what happened is some of the Anunnaki were benevolent, and they went on, and they, you know, some went to Greece, and they were the Greek gods and things like that. That's where all the gods came from, and almost all of our religions were actually born from experiences, you know, with the Anunnaki, which, you know, that's going to upset a lot of people. But whenever you have the image of a bearded god, and you're talking about the Anunnaki, but there's another god that created them, you know.
Well, that's certainly right. That's certainly true, Kevin. I want to thank you for that, and I'm going to follow up with Kevin's question, which is this. When we speak about the Anunnaki, we generally look at the Sumerian Mesopotamian period of 3000 BC.
Yeah.
But if the gods were, if the Anunnaki obviously was older than that, and Sitchin was right, then we have the Anunnaki influence not only in Greece, but it would be ancient Egypt at 8000 BC, and the gods that ruled Egypt before the pharaohs and the dynastic periods came in. Certainly that would be true everywhere around the planet, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we're talking a minimum of 450,000 years,
right?
600,000 years. And that's what, you know, the Aboriginals talk about. I'll tell you now, what's interesting is the genome experiments have proven that we all have Aboriginal genes. All of us do. And so at one point, you know, this goes back to that original experience, you know, that with the Aboriginal people. So they are the original people, and we're all, you know, byproducts of that. But we're also byproducts of other star nations that came and, you know, brought their genetics as well. So we're a big cosmic soup down here.
Sure, sure. You know, I was reading some stuff the other day, and I've known this fact forever, but it just kind of hit home 3 days ago, that we share 50% of our DNA with a banana. Right?
Yeah.
Just wrap your mind. Everything is connected if that is the case, right? Let's go to the first time caller line. Curly in Des Moines, Iowa. Curly, welcome to Coast.
Doing? Yeah, well, how you doing?
Doing good, Curly. What do you got for James?
Okay, this interdimensional beings are and the reptilian people, like, what do they need sustenance? Like, what do they eat? Because it seems like you'd expend a lot of energy, you know, just doing the things they do. Have you ever been invited, you know, like to sit down for dinner?
Hey, you know what, Curly? Best question of the night, my friend. Awesome.
Yeah.
What do they eat? What's the diet? And have you sat down to dinner?
Definitely not. I would avoid that like the plague. And, you know, this gets into a very dark subject, but, you know, there are some that are 3D, and it has a lot to do with a lot of missing children and things like that. And it gets real ugly. And it goes into the other sacrifices and the blood sacrifices and the alliances that are made there. And, you know, these reptilians came in. Actually, Marduk invited them in, who was an Anunnaki, and he wanted total superiority over the earth. And he even went against his own people. And that was the beginning of this. You know, this is thousands and thousands of years ago.
Right.
When this started.
Right.
And we're finally cleaning this up. And with the higher dimensional beings coming in and the benevolent Anunnaki and the other star nations are finally getting around to the earth, which is, you know, been in the outermost corner of the Milky Way. And they're finally coming in to clean this up. And that's a lot of what we're seeing that's manifesting here right now on the earth.
See if we can get a couple of more in before the top of the hour. East of the Rockies, Keith in St. Louis, you're up next on Coast. Welcome.
Welcome to you, too. I mean, I've listened to your show before. I've listened to the Mr. Mars, who talked about the war going on down in the Antarctica?
Absolutely.
To answer the question about the reptilians, they're cannibals.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm sure. And there's, and Keith, did you have a question? Because I want to respond to that. Keith, did you have a question?
Yeah. Has anybody mentioned the Saurons or the insectoids? The Saurons, as I understand it, are like 10-foot tall T-Rexes, only they're omnivorous.
Okay.
And the insectoids are like little ant people about 4 feet tall.
Keith, two great questions.
Yeah,
and thank you for that.
Yeah, people have had contact with these beings, and there's some people that have had contact with the ant beings. I've heard about it, but I haven't had those experiences. And I don't know if a big T-Rex showed up, I think I'd be grabbing for some unconditional lead or something. I don't know if I would.
Right. Right. Okay. Yeah. And the thing is, which I wanted to touch upon, is there has to be a good and bad with just why would any ET species or race be any different from us? Exactly. Or different from, you know, dogs and cats. You have bad dogs and good dogs, right? You have
that
good humans.
Above, so below.
Right,
the same
right,
thing.
Right, but absolutely.
You get out of the fourth dimension, you don't have that.
Yeah, and so why would you expect all Anunnaki or all reptilians or all, you know, any species to be all benevolent or all malevolent, you know, all good? We have to look at ourselves for those kinds of answers.
There's a good point you're making there, too, and that's what I find sad is that there are beings that are just working their butt off on our behalf.
Right.
Clean this up, and they're being demonized, you know, and you know, people go, oh, why don't they land and walk among us? I said, well, they're going to be demonized or they're going to be worshipped, which they don't want. They're probably going to be, you know, they're they're probably going to try to steal their technology and dissect them. I mean, we're not ready yet for that. You know, there are some people that are ready to have contact with them because they've lost the fear, and they're not in ignorance, and they're dealing with it, you know, on a more conscious level, and those are the people that they are going to be contacting.
Do you feel that you have information that you can't share?
Yeah, I'd say yes.
And, well, okay, so the answer, why? Why can't you share it?
Because if I shared it, it might interfere in the manifestation of it, and it's really good.
But isn't there a way to manipulate the information that it could be positive and beneficial and wouldn't interfere with the grand plan?
Well, you know, the grand plan basically is the liberation of Earth, and it's the awakening and healing of humanity, Earth. And, you know, it's actually, the plan is to restore the Earth back to the original intent, which
right.
was to be in Eden, you know,
right.
which it got hijacked.
Right.
And how this plan is unfolding and who's involved in it would shock some people. And some people have really demonized some of the people that are actually working, you know, in the highest and best good of humanity, Earth. And what's sad is, the lamestream media and all these other people are the problem.
Right, right. Stay right there, James. This is one of the most fantastic shows I've done in a long time. Our guest, James Gilliland, I promised one of those nights, and we've got it. This is Coast to Coast AM, James Gilliland, and your calls right after this short break. Stay with us.